Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Crickets. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me yet again on my left for today's very special episode is none other than Nottinghamshire's comms intern extraordinaire, Mr. Matt Wiley. So Matt, first things first, mate, obviously an absolute pleasure to get you on for a chat about all things county cricket. We've had an excellent week of action in the 2022 T20 Blast. I have to ask, mate, how's your day been so far?
You're really bigging up these intros, aren't you? You're making them better every week. Yes, it's been really good so far, mate. Thank you. We've got a nice few days off now. My own personal little derby last night between Notts and Yorkshire. Nice to chill for a little bit in the sun and all good. How's yours been?
To be honest, Matt, absolutely brilliant today. The weather's been a lot better here in Warwickshire. The only thing that I will say, obviously with the better weather, for those who do suffer from hay fever, you'll know this, the pollen count's been absolutely horrific. And yes, I've been absolutely pummeled by hay fever today. But again, it's part and parcel. Look, I'd rather have nice weather instead of it being raining, instead of it being, you know, drizzly, gloomy, dark, dismal, all those words that we usually associate with the British weather. So yeah, absolutely no complaints at all there, to be honest, mate. And talking of little derbies, little rivalries, I suppose, before we get into this week's show, just between us two, just remind me, Matt, how did the Bears versus Outlaws game go at Edgbaston?
I can't remember. It was so long ago.
Oh,
it was on Sunday.
It slipped out of my memory. I've not got a clue.
I'll jog your memory if I can, Matt. Yeah, a one-run win for Carlos Brathwaite's Mighty Bears. But what a game of cricket. And again, we might reference that in today's show because, yeah, an absolutely outstanding advert for the T20 Blast, to say the least. And, of course, a big up as well to every single fan who stayed at Edgbaston to watch that 8 overs per side encounter in absolutely horrific weather conditions. You're all absolute legends. That is all I'll say. And talking of the North then, just for those who don't know, actually, how are our T20 Blast review shows work in 2022? We will, of course, be breaking down each group in terms of main performances, so batting performances, bowling performances. Then we have our Player of the Week, our Under 25 Player of the Week, and then, of course, we have our games to watch out for. So, Matt, what better place to kickstart this week's show then with someone who plays for your county? Let's go to the standout batting performance of the week from the North Group. And for me, personally speaking, this could only be one player, and that is, of course, Alex Hales. 91 from 33 deliveries. Matt, how on earth would you go about describing that barnstorming innings from the former England opener?
I think barnstorming is a pretty good way to describe it, mate, to be honest. Yeah, it was just... I was trying to think, actually. I mean, when he was walking off the field to applause from everyone, Derbyshire and Notts fans alike, I was trying to think, have I ever seen anything like that in person? And I just couldn't, off the top of my head, I just couldn't think of it. I know David Willey got something similar for Yorkshire a few years ago. Adam Lyre went mental, but I wasn't at either of those games. So it's like, in person, I think it might be the most destructive display of hitting I've ever seen. It's just like, he is that sort of player, isn't it? When it's his day, he's just going to batter any opposing attack. It's, you know, I suppose you could say he's a little bit inconsistent. I mean, he got a first baller, didn't he, yesterday? But like when he comes off, boy, does he come off. And the size of the sixes as well, it's like, you know, you get some players who work on the power hitting a little bit and they just about manage to get it over the rope. He was planting them in. I think there was one point he almost hit one back to almost back to Trent Bridge. And it's, I don't know if you've seen this video clip of Lyndon James sat on the bench, sat in the dugout for the Notts dugout. And he just said, so it pans to him. So it shows this massive hail stick, and it pans to him, and you can just make out where he goes, oh my God. I think, you know what, Lyndon? Yes, fair play. That is a really good way to sum it up. Set Notts up for an absolutely brilliant victory. And it was a really good all-round team performance as well, especially after the loss to Lancashire a few nights previous. It was a good way to fight back, and he led from the front, and we're just hoping he can do the same to the other East Midlands County on Friday.
Well, we shall have to wait and see, won't we, Matt? But in terms of that innings, 91 from 33 balls, 12 fours, 5 sixes, a 275 0.75 strike rate for an opener is absolutely ludicrous. Ludicrous with a capital L. He is a fantastic player. He is one of the best white ball openers in the country, of course. There'll always be that debate, the discourse, the discussion as to whether or not he could come back into the England setup. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But I'll tell you what, for Notts fans, goodness me, that is your game. He is an absolutely elite opening batsman in T20 cricket. And this knock was a fine example of that. And talking to someone else, because we can't just mention that knock without mentioning this other incredible individual feat from the North Group this week. I know it's not our personal standout batting performance per se, but just as an honourable mention, Chris Lynn Sentry. Chris Lynn Sentry, absolutely ludicrous again. Just balmy, electrifying, whatever you want to describe it as. 106 not out from 66 balls, 12 fours, 3 sixes. And I think one of his sixes may have actually hit someone in the crowd and broke their nose, which was a little bit unfortunate. But again, that just shows the power of the Australian opener, an absolute tour de force up the top of the innings. So in the North Group, we were spoiled for choice this week with those two innings. But yeah, I think for both of us, Matt, I think we're in agreement. Alex Hales, it was ridiculous. And it was on Sky Sports as well. So it was even better with the cameras, wasn't it?
It was. It's pretty funny when the cameras are in town, because you see the amount of planning that goes into a televised game versus a non-televised. You kind of almost feel a bit, oh, I hope someone really comes off today to show people how good the county game is. And he was the man, wasn't he?
He most certainly was. And I'm glad actually you mentioned there about the quality, I suppose, Matt, of the T20 Blast this season. I must say I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving the quality. And in fact, in both groups, we've seen some really competitive games, some really close encounters. And we'll get onto the tables in due course. But it's emerging to be a real dogfight in both groups this summer. This is what we want to see as fans of the county game, and individual feats of brilliance, such as those knocks from the likes of Alex Hales and Chris Lynn, and these other performances, which we'll get onto as the show progresses. It is fantastic. And the fact that it's so readily available, either on TV or on the live streams, is a testament to the counties. It really is. And what a beautiful transition that is, actually, into our next performance, because this wasn't on the Sky Sports cameras, but it was on one of the YouTube live streams. Naveen Ul Haque's 5-for-11 against Worcestershire at New Road. And Matt, before I get into the intricacies, before I go into detail about this particular performance, just a few words on Naveen. What makes him so destructive, so potent as a T20 bowling option?
He's got that maturity beyond his years, hasn't he? I mean, it's easy to forget how young he is. And it's to have that consistency at such a young age as well is really something to be admired. And I think, to be honest, maybe it's the fact that he's a little bit of a wild card because of that. People don't know much about him. I mean, yes, he was over here last year, but he's still got that, you know, when you've had a winter to work on and develop your game. And I think as well, that is the part of the pull to England for a lot of these overseas players. And I saw there was a little bit of an argument recently, when a couple of years ago, that for some reason we weren't quite attracting the very top level talent. But I don't think we need to, because we got, you know, when I remember when Chris Gayle came over for Somerset a few years ago, and there was this massive fanfare. And actually, to be honest, that year there was loads of quality overseas signings. I know your boys got Brendan McCullum, didn't they, that year, about 6 or 7 years ago. But I think when players come over, it's quite handy to have that sort of development angle to it. That's how you convince them, because there's nowhere like English conditions. You know, I think New Zealand is probably the most similar, but you know, that is literally the other side of the world. There's nowhere quite like England and being able to learn your game. And for a seamer like Naveen Ul Haque, who will have grown up in, you know, baking hot on the spin friendly cracked pitches when he plays outdoors, he won't have had that ability to kind of tune his game in the more sort of seam friendly ideas of England. So for Leicestershire, they get a brilliant seam bowler. Naveen, a young bowler, he gets a chance to develop his tactic and his ability in those conditions where he can thrive. I think it's just that marriage, isn't it? That match of everything. And I think for me, it's that level of everything coming together in England. Leicestershire's recruitment, his desire to improve himself, and then the fact that teams don't quite know what they're dealing with still because he's a bit of a wild card.
Well, it's funny you mention the unpredictability, that element of his game, Matt, because you look at his bowling style, he's very unorthodox in terms of his release angles, in terms of the change of pace, the knuckleballs, the slow balls that he possesses. He really just must be an absolute nightmare to face. And I'm just looking at his T20 stats so far. He's 22 years old and he's already taken 121 T20 wickets in 99 career games. He's taken 12 wickets in this year's T20 Blast with a 7.16 economy rate. And I just felt like this game at New Road was an exhibition of what makes Naveen just so dangerous. As I mentioned, those cutters, the change of pace. He bowled Brett D'Oliveira with an absolute beauty of a Yorker as well. Pitch perfect. Brett could do nothing about it. 5 for 11, career best figures. Naveen Ulhaq, take a bow. Absolutely outstanding this week for the Foxes. And again, on the theme of honourable mentions, aside from that, that would be our standout bowling performance. I couldn't talk about that Bears versus Outlaws game without mentioning Jake Lintott. I just couldn't. 2 for 6 from 2 overs, bowling 6 dot balls as well. 2 massive wickets, might I just add, in an 8 overs per side game, defending 98 runs.
Match winner.
Match winning.
Match winning. Honestly, yeah. Without that, I think Knox would have coasted home. Yeah, match winning.
It was pivotal. It completely changed the complexion of the game. And of course, led the Bears to win that game by a run in an absolute thriller of a final over between Craig Miles and Tom Moores with that Yorker at the end.
This is interesting. I'll put this question to you, obviously, with the tactical retirement. What's your view on that?
It's an interesting one because I think if the player's on strike, I think it's actually okay. I think it's okay. But when the player's not on strike, I don't think it's that fair. If you get what I mean, because in terms of matchups, here's another thing as well. I speak as a bowler. If you're coming on as a bowler and you've got an unfavourable matchup, or you've got someone who usually does well against you, you can't opt out. So it does feel like a little bit of a cop-out, personally speaking. Again, it is legitimate as of this recording. But I thought the thing with Samet at the end, I understand they wanted a faster runner, but I don't know. I think the lines on that are a little bit blurred. What about yourself, Matt?
I don't like it. I really don't like it at all, wherever you are. I think it's an attempt to gain an advantage, isn't it? It feels a bit, you know, it's essentially like making a substitution, and whether there should be substitutions in cricket or not, you know, but it's a tactical attempt to gain an advantage, isn't it? And it's just, you know, I know people say, oh, sport's not fair, sport is, it's not a fair game, it's who comes up with the best advantage, it's who can be the cleverest. But when Kieran Pollard did it, I think it was Kieran Pollard in the IPL earlier this year, I just kind of saw that and I thought, that's not right. I don't like it. And I mean, I almost, the Brathwaite-Samet thing, I can almost forgive Knox for doing it because Birmingham did it first, but that doesn't mean I like it. That doesn't mean it's two wrongs don't make a right. Don't get me wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. I would strongly say that. But I just think, no, we need to clamp down on it before it goes anywhere. Because for me, you should only be able to retire if you're injured. Now, yes, does that open up a can of worms with players pretending to be injured? Well, fine. Then you can properly punish them if they do pretend to be injured. But yeah, for me, no, we've got to stop it before it becomes a thing.
Yeah, it was bizarre, wasn't it? To be completely honest. Or if you are going to keep it in the game, it does need to be policed a bit better, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, you can't be having a tactical retirement after 10 balls.
No.
Well, it should be about 20, 30 balls. If someone's struggling, right, and you want to get your finisher in, fair enough, that is a tactical replacement. But again, it's those blurred lines, isn't it? It's there to be manipulated.
That's what Pollard did, isn't it? They retired him to bring in a finisher. And you just think, well, yeah, you should only be allowed to retire if it's not a competitive game or if you're properly injured, which then would be at the discretion of the umpire.
Yeah, to be honest, Matt, it's a very, very interesting topic of discussion. We could have an entire podcast actually based around it. And for the listeners out there, what are your thoughts? Let us know via Twitter or Instagram, any social media. Are you in favour of tactical retirements in T20 cricket? Yes or no? please feel free to let us know your thoughts. But tactical retirement aside then, Matt, let's go on to our standout under 25 player of the week in the North Group. For me, aside from Naveen Al-Haq, I'd go for one of his Leicestershire teammates. A good friend of mine as well, has to be said, a certain Scott Steele. Lovely fella. He's been bowling in his diamond earrings as well in 2022, which has been quite the sight for us as county cricket fans. But he scored 64 from 45 against North Ants. And then he followed it up with, and I say this through gritted teeth because I don't want his ego to get too inflated, but a quite fantastic 72 from 51 balls against the Bears. Two fours, five sixes. He was originally dropped on 11 runs and he made the Bears pay. So for that reason, I'd go with Scott Steele. Would you agree with that, Matt, or has someone else caught your eye this week?
No, I would. Yeah. He's the Leicestershire again. You know, they've got to make the most of the limited resources that they've got. And with Naveen, they've done that. And with Scott Steele, they've done that, yeah. And that, again, I talked about a match-winning performance for Lintott against North. Scott Steele, that was a match-winning performance against Birmingham, which is a really tough place to go.
It is indeed, yeah. The Bears' unbeaten home record
gone. I saw the smile when I said that.
Hey, still 3 out of 4. I'll take that to say the least, especially when you look at our home record in recent T20 blasts. But aside from our under 25 player of the week, well done, by the way, Scott, thoroughly deserving of that title in the second week. But in terms of our overall star player of the week, Matt, I've gone with Chris Lynn. I think he's been absolutely sensational. We mentioned the 106 outs, then followed up with the 61. And you know, with North Ants, they need top order runs. I think their bowling attack can get them through to the knockout stages. I really do. I think they've got a great spin attack. I think they've got some good seam bowling options as well. I think the finishing department, in comparison to other teams, aside from the Jimmy Neesham factor, might let them down slightly. And for that reason, I do think the top order will have to get the lion's share of the runs for the East Midlands outfit. But he's just been a revelation, hasn't he? He's been absolutely superb as Chris Lynn.
He has, yeah. And you know, I think I might have said on this last week, I was a little bit unsure about his consistency. Is he maybe passed that little? I did. There you go. You're going to remind me. No, thanks, Chris. You've thoroughly proved me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I am happy that you've proved me wrong because I like him as a player. I like watching him for Brisbane Heat in the Big Bash when he was in his prime a few years ago. And yeah, he's come to England and done a fantastic job. But can I say he's not my player of the week? Can I say my player of the week is Adam Lyth, 77 off 33 against Durham. That's, I mean, you know, two scores of 200 plus in the space of a week for Yorkshire. Yes, I'm biased. I'm going to cop that. But no, I think he's been such a performer. He's been so, so consistent in every format for Yorkshire over the years, and he's still doing it. And yeah, he's a similar sort of style to Chris Lynn, isn't it? In the sense that he looks to get on the front foot from ball one. He likes to strike that maximum in the opening over, whoever's bowling it. You know, he likes to immediately hit his stride. And when he comes off, I mean, he was just in imperious form against Durham. That was a fantastic, to chase what was a really challenging total. And the fact that Yorkshire did it with relative ease, I would say, was more than not down to him.
I'll tell you what, Matt, I actually quite like that choice. And Adam Lyth, there hasn't been much talk about him, actually, so far in this year's T20 Blast. He's striking at 185.71. So, again, we talk about top-order runs, the value of those big contributions up the top. Adam Lyth, as you rightfully said, is delivering on that front for the Yorkshire Vikings. And, yeah, Yorkshire are reaping the rewards as a result. So I'll go Chris Lynn. You've gone Adam Lyth. Again, I think both worthy contenders for that title this week. And going on to our penultimate category then for the North Group for today's review show, team of the week, Matt, I think this is pretty obvious, to be honest. Lancashire.
Do we have to do it again?
We kind of do, don't we?
They've
been absolutely exceptional.
Yeah, we do, don't we? Yeah, they have. I'm so nervous that we're going to get onto that category next, aren't we? But yeah, They've got everything, haven't they? They've got everything. They've got, I mean, for a start, they've got Tim David, which is a hell of a performer. Can that England tour to the Netherlands hurry up when they lose half the team? Because Lancashire are really good, unfortunately. I can't deny it. I think you'd have to say not to the other sort of powerhouse in the group. We have just not quite hit the stride. So I say powerhouse over the years, past powerhouse, have not hit the stride this year yet. So yeah, all right, there you go. Lancashire it is.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, Matt, if we are putting our county allegiances aside, it is the Lancashire Lightning. What a game that was as well, by the way, up at Old Trafford. Great crowd in for that Northants game. Jimmy Neesham almost proving to be the hero. And then bowled a no ball. Unfortunately, cost the Steelbacks the game. But great, again, another fantastic advert for the T20 Blast and a fantastic crowd up at Old Trafford, to say the very least. And talking of Lancashire then, I think we all know what the game of the week is this week. There is a Roses match at Headingley, Wednesday the 8th of June, the day that this episode is being released. I would ask for a prediction. I think I know which way this is going to go, but who do you think will win in tonight's game?
Oh, I don't think you do. I don't think you do. I'm not confident in us. I'm not. Honestly, fine. My heart says Yorkshire. My heart says Yorkshire. Well, there you go. There's the Freudian slip. There's the Freudian slip. My head obviously says Lancashire because they're the superior team. But the one thing I would say is the lack of Matthew Parkinson might prove to be in our favour. But yeah, everything about it says Lancashire. But fine, let's say Yorkshire, and then I can't be accused of being a wet wipe. But I'm not confident, mate. I'll be honest.
Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, I would agree, to be honest. I do think Lancs are going to win, but it's a Roses match. Anything can happen. And we've had some absolute classics up at Headingley in the last 5 years, let alone the entire span of the competition. So, yeah, cannot wait for that personally. As a neutral, always fantastic viewing when it's not one of your teams involved, to be honest. They are absolutely fantastic to watch our Roses matches. And, of course, that will have a massive impact on the North Group table, which we shall get on to right now, because at the top of the North Group at the end of the second week are the Lancashire Lightning, still unbeaten, 4 wins, 1 tie on 9 points at the moment. In second are my team, the Mighty Bears, on 8 points, having won 4 of their 6 games so far. In third are the Yorkshire Vikings on 7 points. In fourth are the Northamptonshire Steelbacks, also on 7 points. In fifth are the Leicestershire Foxes on 6 points. In sixth place, this is really surprising for me personally, given the strength of the side on paper, are the Notts Outlaws on just 5 points. They've won 2 of their first 6 games in this year's T20 Blast. In seventh are the Derbyshire Falcons on 4 points. In eighth are Durham, also on 4 points. And bottom of the North Group, for the second week running, are the Worcestershire Rapids on 2 points. Again, it's shaping up to be a very, very compelling group. There's still over half the group stage left to play. It is all to play for in the North. It really is. Again, those top four places, the top four spots, the knockouts, round, berths, will be very, very hotly contested, to say the least. But moving on from the North then, Matt, let's head to the South Group. And we'll start with our standout batting performance. There's quite a few to choose from. So Matt, actually, I'm going to pass over to you, because I think we'll have different answers for this particular segment. But who have you chosen for your standout batting performance in the South Group this week?
I've gone for Tim Seifert of Sussex. I've got to be honest, I turned on El Clasico. There you go, called it El Clasico. I turned it on, and only to discover that he had actually signed for Sussex. I must have missed that one. But he's a really good signing, and he's another example of these counties that don't have infinite riches, using their resources quite astutely. And I thought his innings at first was a little bit strange. I thought Sussex's innings as a whole was a little bit strange at first, because, you know, tracing exactly 200, it's a massive, massive pitch, a massive surface at the Aegeus Bowl. So 200 definitely looked strong. And Sussex was slightly, they looked a bit behind the eight ball. They were a bit scratchy, I'm not quite sure. And then they lost wickets, and it was all a bit strange. But Tim Seifert stayed there, and while he was there, they always had a chance. And then they went off for Rome, which could have further disrupted his rhythm a little bit. And they probably just gave themselves a little bit too much to do in the end. But
for Tim Seifert to carry his back straight through that innings, 100 not out. I mean, a century in any format is tough enough, isn't it? So to get it in a 220 when you've got to score it rapidly. So yeah, 100 off 56 ball. To hit sixes at the Aegeus Bowl, you've got to get some serious power behind that as well. There was a ramped four as well. You know, he's got that inventiveness about him. And I think he flies a little bit below the radar as well in international cricket. I remember a few years ago, he got a big 100 off not very many for New Zealand. He's got that power, he's got that ability, and he's a really, really fine white ball player, and he's showing it.
He most certainly is, Matt. And again, there's a word that I use to describe Tim Seifert's batting: enterprise. There is that little bit of, what to say, maverick about him. He does have those ramps, the innovations, the scoop shots, the sweeps. Brilliant to watch. And again, a fantastic innings. Unfortunately for the Sharks, did end up on the losing side of that result. But a fantastic game of cricket. Yet again, the T20 Blast definitely delivering the drama, the chaos, the carnage in 2022. I also put that as an honourable mention for my batting performance of the week. But I've actually gone with Joe Denley. 110 from 58 balls against Middlesex in Canterbury. The Denley meme team would not forgive me if I didn't mention Joe in this week's show. So there you go, guys. I've put him in there just for you. But after a pretty sluggish start, I say pretty sluggish, Kent hadn't won a game before this, and they are the defending champions. They needed someone to produce an individual feat of brilliance. And Joe Denley did exactly that. Everything he touched in this game just turned to absolute gold. It was a fantastic display of white ball batting. He hit a total of 15 boundaries, 9 fours, 5 sixes, and he reached his century within just 50 deliveries. So Joe Denley, take a bow, 5th career T20 century, a massive win for Kent, as I mentioned, after a real, real slow and sloppy start to this year's T20 Blast. Yeah, take a bow, Joe Denley, absolutely outstanding, to say the least. And moving on then to our standout bowling performance, Matt, you're going to have to play the tiebreak here because I literally could not choose one from the South Group this week. In terms of the contenders, the nominees for standout bowling performance from the South Group this week, I've got Ben Green for his 5 for 29 against Glamorgan. I've got Sam Curran's 5 for 30 against Hampshire. And then Obed McCoy. Again, what a signing he's proven to be for Sussex. 5 for 33 on debut, might I add, against Somerset. 3 absolutely stellar bowling displays, to say the least, Matt. If you did have to choose from, because I couldn't, I've had to sit on the fence this week, which one of those would you elect for and choose for this week's standout performance?
So my little way of breaking a tie like this, if I ever see one and I can't decide, is always to look at the relative strength of the opposition. So you see these performances that are all very close together and you think, right, okay, who's he got out? Who was he playing against? What's their ability like? And by that reckoning, I'd have to go for Obed McCoy because Somerset stronger than the other two in relative terms in the competition, I would say. And yeah, to do it on debut as well. So you've got to take into account they were playing a strong team. He's got that pressure. I'm not sure when he arrived in the UK either. He could have still been a little bit all over the place, health-wise, physicality-wise. So to step up and do that on debut, to introduce yourself to that crowd like that. And he also took a blinding catch against Hampshire as well, diving forward. I didn't think he was going to make it, and then he did. I can't quite remember who it was he caught. I don't know if you're about to tell me, but that was a heck of a catch. Yeah, 5-4 on debut in T20. Really, really impressive him for me.
To be honest, Matt, I'm going to agree then. And again, Ben Green and Sam Curran, very, very close. Genuinely, both of their performances absolutely outstanding. And for Ben Green as well, might just say, incredibly special for him. I think he mentioned it in an interview a couple of days afterwards. He wanted a century or a 5-for for Somerset in the summer of 2022, and he's got it. So congratulations to Ben Green. But I do think I'll go Obed McCoy because it was his debut. He'd just been playing in the IPL as well for the Rajasthan Royals. He's come all the way from India, straight off the plane, basically, to come and play for Sussex. And he bowled beautifully. You know, a good speed, changed up his lengths very nicely. Again, those changes of pace in T20 cricket are so important. And with a left arm angle, I know that Sussex have already got George Garson and Timar Mills in that regard, but it does just offer a little bit of an extra X factor, doesn't it? In particular, when you're bowling across the right-hander. I'd go with Obed McCoy then. It turns out the tiebreaker actually wasn't so hard, actually, when we applied all that logic. But yeah, Obed McCoy, absolutely outstanding. And in fact, in three games so far for Sussex, 10 wickets at an average of 11.5. The economy rate has been quite high, 9.58 runs per over, but he's the strike bowler. And that is exactly what he is doing for the Sharks at the moment. So Matt's bowling performances aside, batting performances aside from the South Group, I don't think there's any particular topic of debate in terms of tactical retirements in the South Group this week. So this might be a slightly shorter segment than the North Group this week. But standout under 25 player of the week in the South Group, who would you select and why, mate?
Will Smead, purely. I know he fell just short of a century in that, but just he's come on leaps and bounds, I don't know. He burst onto the scene last year, but not out as well, you know, unbeaten, to keep going, to, you know, it was chanceless, wasn't it? It was fast, it showed. Again, I keep talking about that maturity beyond your years, which is so important. Yeah, he's a heck of a player. And Somerset, they keep doing this, don't they? They keep bringing through these young players. And Ben Green's another, to be honest, they've brought through. It's just, yeah, he's underpinned that game. And, yeah, 7-4s, 8-6s, you know, any time you're striking more sixes than fours is seriously impressive. Yeah, Will Smead, it has to be for me. 94 not out, brilliant.
To be honest, Matt, I would say that I don't disagree, but for this week, I actually do. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, Will Smead, again, this is a theme in today's podcast. Lots of honourable mentions. There's been some absolutely brilliant performances across the groups this week. I've actually gone with Sam Curran. Mm-hmm. And I know that's really cheeky of me because, of course, he is a full England international, very experienced in T20 cricket, having played in the IPL as well, but you know, he just had that 5-for-30 against Hampshire, and then in addition to that, he's also been producing with the bat in hand. He scored 69 in that game. He scored 43 against Kent, 31 against Glamorgan. He really just does epitomise a three-dimensional player. He's very energetic in the field. I mentioned that left arm angle earlier with Obed McCoy. He offers that. He swings the ball as well in white ball cricket, which is such an asset to possess. And then with the bat in hand, it is just one gear, isn't it? As soon as that ball is in the arc, it's getting dispatched for 4 or 6. So I've gone with Sam Curran. But I tell you what, Will Smead is up there. And I was gutted for him, might I just add. He just cannot get that century, can he? He scored 99 out. Sorry, not 99 out. He scored at 99 for Kettle Gladiators in the PSL. And then in this game, there was enough runs on the board for him to score a century. And Riley Russo started teeing off, which I'm not sure if I was Will Smead, I'd be very happy about, to be honest. But Riley, again, someone who we'll probably mention in the next segment, to be honest. Someone who's having a fantastic start to life at Somerset, to say the least. But it was just brutal, wasn't it? And if anything is on the leg side, with Will Smead, we'd mention about the size of those arms. He really does look like a bodybuilder. So much power, so much destruction in those biceps. Yeah, to be honest, I think both are definitely worthy of shouts. But I've gone with Sam Curran. Matt, you've gone with Will Smead. And again, listeners, if there's anyone else who you think we missed, let us know at thecountycrick2 on twitter.com. But aside from our under-25 player then, Matt, let's go on to our player of the week. I've kind of ruined the surprise with this. I've gone with Riley Russo yet again because he's still the leading run scorer in this year's T20 Blast. He's racked up, in the first week, 174 runs with a 172.27 strike rate. In the second week, he's added an extra 104 runs to that. And staggeringly, the strike rate has improved even more. He's now striking at 191.72. He's striking at almost 200. This, by the way, for an overseas signing, who, when he was first announced, left a lot of people questioning why he was signed. And he is silencing those critics in quite sensational fashion, isn't he, Matt?
He is. Yeah. I mean, we had this discussion last week, didn't we? He's just, yeah. answered them emphatically. What else is there to be said? He took this opportunity with both hands, and to be scoring the most runs in the competition so far, he's laid down the gauntlet for everyone else.
Yeah, to be honest, Matt, I think we're both in agreement there when it comes to Riley Rich. So there's not much more that we need to touch upon. We mentioned it pretty much all last week, but my goodness, Somerset fans, what a signing. What an incredible piece of recruitment Riley Rousseau is turning out to be. And yeah, long may it continue for the West Country outfits. Talking of Somerset then, Matt, this actually might play into our next segment of the week. But we do, of course, have our South Group team of the week. Would you go with Somerset, or would you go with the team currently at the top of the South Group in the form of Surrey County Cricket Club? Who do you select as your team for this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Surrey. You see, I've got my fingers crossed again. Obviously, I've gone for Lancashire in the North Group and Surrey in the South Group. It's not going well for me, is it, at all? But no, I know I mentioned last week about setting expectations and the fact that Surrey, you know, 2 out of 2 was more or less what we expected from them. They've now gone 5 unbeaten, and obviously one of those was a no result, et cetera, et cetera. But four completed games, 4 wins, and at some point you have to say that no one's expecting them to win all 14 in the group stage. So, you know, to be almost halfway through, or, you know, a third of the way through, and still essentially have a 100% record, is going beyond the standards, isn't it? That's going beyond. And the amount of individual players that are stepping up as well. I mean, you mentioned Sam Curran. They're gelling into a really, really good team. I mean, if the final of this competition is Lancashire against Surrey, I'm moving to a desert island. But honestly, this is more than what we expect. And Surrey are flying high. They get some fantastic crowds in at the Oval, don't they? They've got the derby coming up. Yeah, they're a bit of a juggernaut at the moment. It's hard to bet against them.
They certainly are, Matt, to be honest. They really are a juggernaut. And you just look at that team. We said on paper they're going to be incredibly strong. The way in which they've gelled, the chemistry that exists in that unit, is absolutely phenomenal. And how on earth do you beat them? I know, obviously, they are going to have some changes of the squad as the tournament goes on because of England commitments, but a full-strength Surrey side, the top order is impregnable. They've got some incredible finishers, lots of experience with the likes of Sinan Narine. You've got the likes of Kieran Pollard in there as well. Jamie Overton as well, ridiculously underrated player, I think, for Surrey. Really, really handy with the bat in hand. And then you've got that spin attack and a potent seam attack to boot. I just don't see them losing many games. Obviously, again, you can't go an entire season unbeaten. I do think they're going to have 1 or 2, if not 3, off nights. But to be at this stage of the competition, 5 games are on 9 points. When you think the cutoff for those quarterfinals is usually about between 14 and 16 points. Obviously, they'll want the top 2 spots. So they're looking more towards 18 points as a bare minimum. They're basically there, aren't they? You just can't see it going wrong, to be honest, for the London-based outfits. And yeah, it's been a tremendous start to the summer indeed, across formats, it has to be said, for the South London-based club. And talking to London, because that is the city where we set our scene for the game this week, the London Derby, the first one of the summer at Lord's, the home of crickets, Thursday the 9th of June. The weather forecast looks absolutely beautiful as well, might I just add. Matt, I think I know who you're going to go for here, to be honest. And I think I would agree, actually. I think we'll both go for Surrey as the winners. But do you think Middlesex can actually pull it off? I know it's been a very inconsistent start. But, you know, with the likes of Steve Eskenazi, you got Cracknell in there, Holden. It's a very strong top order. If those guys can fire, it's going to be an interesting game, isn't it, at the home of cricket?
Yeah, I actually do think Middlesex can spring a bit of a surprise here. I would say that they started so well that they want to get back to that. You know, they had a winning formula to start with, and to then lose 3 on the bounce obviously kind of undermines them a little bit. It paints them as a bit of an inconsistent outfit going up against probably the most consistent team in the competition, certainly in the South Group, if not in the competition as a whole. But you said everyone has an off night. Everyone has an off night, and I don't think there's any more likely play for Surrey to have an off night than at the home of their biggest rivals, because Middlesex want to bounce back. Surrey, I'm not saying they've got complacent, but they could get potentially a little bit, you know, overconfident. They go there, they think, well, this lot have lost three in a row. Middlesex, you know, to either of them, it's like, you know, if Yorkshire beat Lancashire, it's almost worth three wins and vice versa. And the same in the London Derby. It's worth so much to both of those teams that Middlesex will almost feel, you know, that those three wins in a row will just be, those three defeats in a row will just be washed away if they can beat Surrey. So I think, yeah, Surrey travelling across the capital, they look confident, but it's all on the day in T20. It's all on the day. And I actually can see Middlesex coming out on top. They've got some really, really solid players. They're at Lords for the first time this season. They'll want to put on a big show in front of that big crowd. Why not?
I like your thinking, to be honest, Matt. So, again, we're actually split then for our South Group game of the week. I'm going to go with Surrey, and you're going to go with the Saxes of Middlesex. We'll have to wait and see. That is going to be an absolute blockbuster game, though, isn't it? Always a fantastic occasion. Is the London Derby, of course, last year, Will Jacks absolutely blasting the ball to each and every single boundary at the home of crickets. If he does that again, yeah, we are in for an absolutely beautiful game of crickets between the two London sides at Lords this week. And talking of Surrey then, let's of course take a look at the South Group standings at the end of the second week, because Surrey, 4 wins, 1 no result, currently top of the South Group on 9 points. In second, a Somerset on 8 points. In third, a Sussex on 6 points. In fourth, a Middlesex also on 6 points. But that net run rate has taken an absolute pounding as a result of that loss to the Hampshire Hawks at Radlett. In fifth, a Gloucestershire on 5 points. In sixth, are the Essex Eagles, also on 5 points. In seventh, a Glamorgan on 5 points. In eighth, after that crushing victory of the Hampshire Hawks, on 4 points. And in ninth and bottom place of the South Group are the defending champions, the Kent Spitfires, on 2 points. So again, the South Group, it's anybody's at this stage. Places really are up for grabs. I think Surrey and Somerset, I think they're basically set, to be honest. At this point, I do think those two sides will occupy the top two spots. But as for places 3 and 4, I think we are in for an absolutely gripping end to the T20 Blast group stages in the South Group this week. But Matt, let's be honest, it's been a bumper episode, hasn't it? This week we've had a lot to talk about. Alex Hales' 91, the tactical retirements with the Bears and the Outlaws. Then we've had some outstanding bowling displays, some excellent individual performances across both groups. Just before we end today's show, mate, any final things to discuss, anything to leave us on for this week's episode?
Nothing that immediately springs to mind. I'll be honest, I've just got to say I'm looking very, very much looking forward to the next couple of days. Looking forward to the Yorkshire Lancashire game before the game. I'll be a nervous wreck during it and probably be slightly depressed after it, let's face it. But no, I'm very much looking forward to that. And then Surrey Middlesex is really good because obviously I can watch that as a neutral observer. And sometimes I really wish I could watch Yorkshire Lancashire as a bit of a neutral, but you know, it's in the blood. I can't. So, yeah, to be able to watch that one, which, sorry, Surrey fans, sorry, Middlesex fans. Tell you what, actually, this is one for you. Is that on the same level? Is that on the same level as Yorkshire Lancashire? Because I would say it's close, but not quite. But what do you reckon?
We shall save that debate for another episode, Matt. Again, we could spend an extra hour talking about that, to be honest.
But no, I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. And, yeah, and obviously the first block of T20 is coming to an end, isn't it? We've got a championship round starting on Sunday. So now it'll be a good time to sort of reflect and see where we're at. And we've certainly got the movers and shakers coming through, and anyone looking to launch a bit of a late challenge as we head into the second half of the group stage, I think that's a good time to do it. But yeah, it's been brilliant so far and I'm looking forward to the rest.
It most certainly has, Matt. It's been an absolutely fantastic start to the T20 Blast in 2022. And again, we mention it every single episode. If you can get down to one of the counties, please do support them. Please do. Every single fan matters in county cricket. And again, you'll be treated to a fantastic occasion of cricket. The T20 Blast never fails to deliver fantastic entertainment, to say the least, is the T20 Blast. But that is it from us two here at the Counter Cricket Podcast for today's episode. To each and every single one of you wonderful listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.